You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Marketing is everything pre-purchase. It is all the stuff you do to inch the person towards the sale. And if your fuel is to be, oh yeah, no, I really like that brand, I never bought from them, that's failing marketing, right? It's about being heard. It's about cutting through the noise that the customer is hearing 24/7 out in the marketplace and creating for them enough story-based education to inch them towards the purchase. That's marketing.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Good morning, fine Sales Funnel Radio people. It's Steve Larson. I'm outside, so hopefully this recording's cool. I just have a cool thought and I want to be able to share it with you. First off, welcome to the show. Documenting my journey to 100 million and the good, the bad, the ugly, it's meant to be more of a documenting show along with, you know, with lessons along the way. We just finished up the Inner Circle and the Inner Circle was so fun. And I'm also in Category Kings now also. If you don't know what those are, you have to have made $1 million to be in Inner Circle. And then Category Kings, you have to have made 10 million. And it's interesting to see how, it's a little windy. Hopefully that's all right, everyone. Hopefully you guys can hear me okay. It was interesting to see the different types of problems that both groups were addressing. Tuesday, Wednesday was Category Kings. And most people were talking about scaling, you know, how do I train my team better? How do I help them understand my vision better? I need more JVs, you know. Those are the types of problems and things that Category Kings was talking about, whereas in, you know, the past 10 million. And so it's fun group. Oh my gosh. Half the group isn't even from the funnel world, which is so fun because they're just bringing this fresh perspective in that I've really enjoyed. Inner Circle is very much focused on different problems. In fact, I took notes on both groups because I facilitate the Inner Circle and I'm in Category Kings. And there's probably 6 or 7 facilitators, but I took notes on what problems each group was talking about. And it was fascinating to see the stark differences in what each, you know, kind of person on their journey is dealing with and how they kind of relate along the way, you know, not everyone, but most of the time. Inner Circle members seem to be more concerned with like, hey, my sales were really good this month, but terrible last month. How do I make it more consistent? You know, hey, how do I make sure that my fulfillment is where it needs to be? You know what I mean? There were more problems that had more to do with the product, whereas Category King's questions had more to do with scaling the business, which I thought was really quite an interesting insight to watch literally in front of me. And I took notes on this and I was like, this is really cool to watch how unique, you know, each of the questions are. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. I know I've been a little bit light on the Sales Funnel Radio podcast lately. I try to put out 2 a week, but I got to tell you guys, I have spoken, I think 5 or 6 times in the last 5 weeks. And speaking is like my sport. And so it's just been really heavy between Funnel Hacking Live and then going straight into, you know, the launch of 2.0. And I spoke 3 times that week, which is so fun. Such an honor. And then right after that, a full week of Inner Circle. I mean, it's been a lot. So Anyway, I just haven't been as consistent, but you know, I'm back on the saddle now. And I'm going to do another episode here about all the things that I learned, because I'm going to make some major changes to my business. Major changes to my business very soon here. Timing matters. I can't believe it's November 1st as I record this episode. That's crazy. But timing matters, so I may not pull the trigger on some of those things yet, but I want to just kind of inform you guys on where I'm going to go next, because I think that that's how I'll get to the 100 million. Anyway, all right, besides the point, it's a little catch up. That's what's been going on in my life. So I wanted to jump on and teach you guys something kind of interesting. This is resurfaced as of late. The first time I ever heard of, I want to talk to you guys about branding, the importance of branding. If you've ever read the book, really good book called Play Bigger. Play Bigger is a famous book in our industry, and it talks a lot about how to become a category king, which is why I also think the group Category Kings is called Category Kings. It's from that book. So if you've never read that book, like, it is one of those epic staples. Well, shortly after that book was written and released, one of the authors broke off and wrote another book called Niche Down. I still don't love the word niche because no one can define it. just like the word market. They're like, it's not my market. It's like, tell me what a market is and then we can define it. You know what I mean? If you can't define the word, how on earth can you control it? Same with the word niche. But anyway, it's another hill I'll go die on. but in the book Niche Down, he says branding always comes second. It's second to product. It's second to finding a market who wants to buy from you. It's second to fulfillment. And I 100% agree. I didn't have a logo for my, this is my first and my second, I think it's my second $1 million product for 6 months. You know what I mean? And most people think branding is a logo. And that's certainly part of it. And I want to do like a whole masterclass on this, man. Like because this is a big deal. Branding always comes second. I never think about branding really until my thing, whatever I'm selling, is just absolutely dynamite. You know, then I'll start thinking about branding. Because I totally agree with him in that book. The book Niche Down. He's like, look, it comes second. Don't worry about it for quite a long time. And I'm right with him on that. There's like a billion ducks out here. You probably can hear them. Sorry if it's loud. Hey, I hunt you. Where are you when I carry my shotgun? Oh my gosh. You make delicious roasts. So what I want to talk about though is this branding concept. Now, I never thought of myself as like a branding guy actually until 2020. All right, I think. Yeah, because I had to do a virtual event because obviously the pandemic was going on. So I did an event called Offer Launch, and I loved that event. It was such a good event. I'm thinking about bringing that back and maybe even Offer Minds. They're just staple materials that everyone needs to know. And so what I'm thinking about, anyway, I'm trying not to talk about that stuff yet. I'll do another podcast episode about that when I can really just dive in and not when I want to walk and just giving you a cool thought. So it wasn't until 2020. If you guys know Barry and Blue, they're incredible at event throwing. They're helping me do this event. And so I hired them to do an event. I had 850 people, I think almost 900 people at this virtual event. It was virtual because, again, the scamdemic was going on. So the plandemic. So it was there that they're like, hey, Steven, do you want to come speak to our other clients about branding? And I got to be honest, I had never thought of myself as like any kind of branding person or insight person until that moment. It's the only reason I bring it up. Life got busy, I still haven't done that part yet. I'm just saying that was the experience. That was the moment for me when I was like, oh, I should start thinking about how to teach branding. And then I got really this is why I like when you guys ask me questions in full honesty. I love it because sometimes I don't know the things I'm doing. And when someone says, hey, how are you doing X, Y, and Z? It gives you the opportunity to sit back and say, oh my gosh, this is exactly how I'm doing what I'm doing. And so the Capitalist Pig branding, I got a little bit more like, how did I do that? You know, I got more self-inquisitive on what actually makes it work. And some really cool insights came from it. So I bring this up for a simple reason, you know, and you could use this for product branding or personal branding. But recently I was talking to somebody about their personal branding, and this person was like, you know, how do you have such strong branding? How is it? How did you make the Capless Pig logo such a, I mean, it causes a visceral reaction to people when they see that thing, and it's supposed to, and I designed it that way. It's like, a lot of it has to do with how I create hooks and finding things that have an existing, emotional charge to it. And I push the button, and I push it on purpose. And I look for those things in the marketplace. I'm not trying to make people mad, but I am trying to push something that has an emotion charge to it, you know? And there's a ton of strategy behind this and how I created this thing. But one of the biggest mistakes that I see, and I'm not going to go into all those things right now. I just want you to know, like, one of the biggest mistakes that I see in branding, in frankly, all messaging, is that people want to be liked versus heard. Those are very different feels, and those are super different anchors to decide to create your business and your marketing and your branding off of, being liked versus being heard. So if you don't know, I said the name Claude Hopkins last week during Inner Circle, and someone didn't know who that was, and I was like, oh yeah, like, I'm the nerd. So if you don't know who Claude Hopkins is, Claude Hopkins was a brilliant marketer in the mid-1800s who was one of the first people to ever measure the results of his ads in his marketing, you know? So like a newspaper would go out or newsletters or whatever, and Claude Hopkins would put these little codes that were unique to that campaign inside the ad. So someone would place an order, choose to buy, and, you know, he'd be like, well, hey, like, when, what's that little code? And he would be able to track the effectiveness of the ad by putting unique codes in these ads, and know which ones and which audiences and which publications and which actually worked. And people thought he was a genius, and he was very smart, obviously. But it's funny that he's like, I'm just tracking stuff. Like, it's funny when you go back and you read some of this stuff. He's like, I'm just tracking stuff. He's the guy that wrote the book Scientific Advertising. Now, the reason I bring Claude Hopkins up is because he openly was not trying to be liked in his marketing. This is going to be a lot of people that do not agree with me what I'm about to say on this stuff. Okay. One of the reasons I'm bringing this up is because when I tell people who don't really know what I do, right, they're like, oh, Steve, what do you do? And I just tell them, like, oh, I'm in marketing. It is shocking to me. I doubt I'm the only person who's had this happen, especially you, my amazing listeners of the show. Like, you've probably had this happen before, where you say, oh, I do marketing or I do internet stuff, and they immediately assume that you write comedy. You see, the ducks even like that one.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of chief ads officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Did you hear that? That's funny. It's like you'll start talking to people and they're like, hey, this is what I go do. This is who I am. This is what I create. And they'll go, and the amount of people who think that marketing is entertainment is kind of surprising. And that's the difference between creating marketing to be liked versus marketing to be heard. And you really want the latter. And that's why I bring up Claude Hopkins. He was in the 1800s, super focused on, he didn't care if you liked him at all. He was actually like vehemently against trying to be funny. He was very strict. He was like, copy is a salesman and word. That's it. You're not an entertainer. You're not out there trying to trying to be liked. You're trying to be heard. It's a completely different way to create branding. It's a totally different way to create personal branding. And in my opinion, it's one of the biggest reasons the Capitalist Pig logo goes so far. And I was telling this person this, who's like, Steve, how do you make this Capitalist Pig thing go so far? I don't care if someone likes me. And I think people can tell, which sometimes also makes them follow me harder. Funny enough, kind of a backwards psychology, reverse psychology thing right there. But the honest truth is like, I'm trying to be heard, not liked. I end up being liked in that pursuit. But you can be liked and not really heard, meaning for your message. You can be liked and people not really know what you do still. You can be liked, and right? And when you're designing marketing is everything pre-purchase. It is all the stuff you do to inch the person towards the sale. And if your fuel is to be, oh yeah, no, I really like that brand. I never bought from them. That's failing marketing, right? It's about being heard. It's about cutting through the noise that the customer is hearing 24/7 out in the marketplace and creating for them enough story-based education to inch them towards the purchase. That's marketing, right? I measure it in lead gen. That's it. All right, and there's a lot of people who do not agree with me on this. They're like, no, you got to be liked in order to be. And I get it. I'm not saying you can't be funny in ads, guys. I certainly am a goofball in mine. Recently, Marley and I did this ad as we were getting onto an airplane. And it was on like the jetway, like the bridge thing. Reminds me of Dumb and Dumber. He's like, how's your day? He's like, fell off the jetway again. Oh man, I laughed so hard at that. I'm a goofball forever. That movie's just the best. But what's funny is on the jetway, Marley and I shot the most ridiculous ad, and it's amazing how well it's performing. And I'm just like, we turn the camera on. And Marley's like, what should they be doing? And I look at the camera. I'm like, you guys should just go buy our crap because it's really good. And she's like, yeah, we got some good stuff. And I'm like, yeah, click the link below. Like, I think you're going to be surprised on how absolutely epic it is. It melts your freaking face off. Like, I don't remember everything I said in there, but it was being just super like blatant about the fact that it's an ad for this really cool thing that'll help them with their YouTube channels. Like it's, anyway, we're being blatant about it, but we're certainly being liked, but not at the sacrifice of not being heard. I was very clear on why the ad existed. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the reasons why P.T. Barnum is one of my favorite people to study. He was like this beautiful combo of the two. P.T. Barnum was, people knew him as a jokester, right? He was a hoax man. And it's funny because towards the end of his career, P.T. Barnum was, he had played so many hoaxes on the public. It was basically his reputation. Everyone knew that about P.T. Barnum, that he was just this big jokester. It's one of the reasons why later in his career, he brought Jenny Lind over to America. It's fun to read about this. He's like, look, in effort for me to not be taken as such a, he wanted to be taken more seriously. where he's not just a joke man, right? And so he took all these amazing marketing principles of certainly being liked and heard, and he dumped them into the offer of Come See Jenny Lynn, a much more serious style thing, right? There wasn't any jokes. There wasn't any hoaxing going on. And she blew up and they made all this money and it was crazy. And it worked so well. She broke up the business relationship like 93 concerts into their 150 concert tour. It's crazy. Like, she was basically essentially the first female rock star in America. Like, she was, the fame was ridiculous. They called it Lindomania, right? Jenny Lind, Lindomania. And they merchandised the crap out of her face and name. Just, I mean, everything that you can imagine. They put Jenny Lind's face on it. Okay. And so he had this really great knack of being liked and heard. But if you're like, I don't know how, I'm not going to go create a piece of marketing, you know, there's been a few times in my ads, or sorry, a few times in my events, some people have actually asked also, Stephen, how do I create a good ad? Like, I'm not very funny. And that always just like melts my face whenever I hear that, because I'm like, it has nothing to do with being funny. It has nothing to do with being liked even. It has everything to do with educating the person towards the sale and being heard about it. Right? And think about what I did with the Capel's Pig stuff. Like, it's pretty obvious that people like it, and it's extremely obvious that others don't. And having, for lack of a better term, having the balls to do that is a big deal, because I knew I was going to get a lot of hatred by putting that on my chest, right? Just Capel's Pig, bam, right there. And you know what? I was right. And a lot of people have asked me how I sell so many shirts. Here's why. It's because I didn't put a freaking product logo on my chest. No one wants to wear that. Very few people want to wear an icon for an offer they bought. I mean, the diehards do, which is like 10%. You know what I mean? I'm not putting logos on my shirt. I'm not putting product, you know, logos. I'm not putting whatever the .com icon is on my, that's not what's on my shirt. That is not at all what I put on those things. What I do is I'm attaching to really aggressive, already standing, pre-emotionally charged messaging. That it's already there. I'm joining sides with it, and I am actively trying to be heard and then liked. Okay. And having the guts to do that, like that's kind of what I'm trying to say in this podcast is, you need to think of yourself, look back at all your messaging. And I want you to think of it like this. Like, there's a really good podcast called Business Wars. If you haven't heard the show, it's such a good show. It's voice actors who are acting out famous business battles between popular companies. All right, so you hear like, you know, Coke versus Pepsi, Beats versus Dre, you know, it's super cool. But in there, it's very obvious that what they're really trying to paint is that in business, marketing is totally war. And you are warring over the mental mind share of the people who visit your market. Who are you warring with? Not the customer. You're warring with the other businesses. Right? You're warring with the other messages. And so that's why it's like, let people like you for how well you fulfill. Let people like you for the types of problems that you solve. Let people, but first and foremost, you get your message out there and you be heard. Get heard, right? Whatever that takes. That's why I can do weird crap that isn't funny, that doesn't make you like me, and I'm still selling. It's because it's not about being liked, right? Now, eventually, I was laughing. I don't know. People like who they know. People buy from who they know, like, and trust. I'm like, yeah, eventually, but not always. Not always. Right? A lot of times, like when I buy something on Amazon or I'm going to the grocery store, not every purchase is from something that they know I can trust. That's not true. Not every purchase requires those things. Now, it certainly helps, absolutely. In my opinion, that's where branding really helps. Branding, in my opinion, is one of the greatest tricks to getting the second purchase from a customer. The first purchase, though, is more about solving the problem or helping them overcome whatever thing that is they're trying to do, something that they're running from or running towards, and you're helping them do that. I've bought tons of products from people I don't know yet if I like, and I can, but I do trust the fact that they can solve my problem. I do agree on that third one a lot. Does that make sense? And so my experience has been that branding heavily involves the second purchase, right? It's like, all right, ooh, I bought from this person. Ooh, they did what they said they're going to do, or their offer did, right? Like, awesome. And then when you go to sell them again, now branding matters. Now they want to talk to people and say, look, I'm a good consumer. I'm a smart consumer, right? And then things like the look, the feel, right? What the icon looks like, right? All that stuff, the slogan that you've got, what you stand for, the mission behind the business, all that stuff heavily matters. But I don't know. It seems like from all the things that I've seen, think about the One Funnel Away challenge. I mean, I helped bring like 50 or 60,000 people through that thing in a year and a half. Do you think any of them are brand new, really had a brand? No, but tons made money. So wait a second. Branding does come second. And the point of branding and messaging and marketing in general, in my very strong and wavering opinion, and I'll die on this hill, is that it is first to be heard, then be liked. And so when you go back and you look to see the way you're interacting with the marketplace, I'm not saying pick fights, but man, if you follow the Mac versus PC commercials, picking a fight with one or two strategic people, or not people, I like to do it with businesses, is one of the fastest way to hyper growth that you'll ever experience in your entire life. It's ridiculous how fast you grow when you go after the category king, right? That's not about being liked. That's about being heard. This makes sense when I'm sinking in right here with this. Anyway, I got a loaded day. I'm very excited, guys, to tell you more about what it is that I'm going to go be building. And I'm really looking forward to it. This is something that I have stubbed my toe on for probably 2 years, and I'm not settled with it yet. And I'll tell you guys more about it as I go, but I'm really pumped for the place I'm going to go with it. So anyway, that's enough open looping. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for following. A lot of people have asked, especially this last inner circle, like, hey, Steve, what are you up to now? If you go to stevejlarson.com, I do a pretty good job keeping that pretty updated in terms of what I do, what I'm up to, you know, what things I have for offers and stuff that are up. So anyway, you guys are awesome. Thanks for listening, and see you in the next one.
Hey, if you weren't aware, stevejlarson.com is my hub for everything that I'm involved with. If you want more traffic, or offers, funnels, launches, content, leads, it's all there. Would you like some consulting? A lot of people have been renting our studio for their events or a challenge, or even if you want to have me on your show, it's all on stevejlarson.com. There's also contact links that we put on the page that you'll see in what we call the hero funnel. I call it a PR funnel because it highlights all the common PR questions that we get. I only bring this up because the show is called Sales Funnel Radio. That's what you'll see when you go there. If you're not sure where to start on this entire internet marketing world, stevejlarson.com has a list of great resources and education links. I also have a really cool little Easter egg Atari game in the footer called Funnel Heroes. You'll love it. I'll see you at stevejlarson.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.